Healthy living, healthy generosity, healthy praying, healthy fasting, healthy focus, healthy trust, healthy judgment. We are in the middle of a section of the Sermon on the Mount, and we are in the middle section, rather, of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is instructing his followers, both those listening then and those listening today, us now, at what leads to healthy living. That is healthy living from a spiritual perspective. What is healthy for the members of the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdom of earth? So we have these six topics, and they are, the way we've got to organize here, they're kind of like the first six pins in a bowling alley. And it's like a 3-2-1 type of organization here. So we've already been through the three that are linked together. We have generosity and prayer and fasting, and those were all linked together. So you've got our 1, 2, 3. Then today and next Sunday are topics that are linked together. So those are the next two. And then our final one is kind of a standalone healthy judgment. So if that helps you to kind of think through some of the organization of these six messages, these six different topics, we got three. 2 and 1. So 3, so healthy generosity, healthy prayer, healthy fasting. 2, healthy focus, healthy trust. Those go hand in hand. And then 1, healthy judgment. And yes, there is a way to have a healthy judgment. Now, I don't want to confuse you anymore with numbers, but there are more numbers to be shared today. Today, so that's kind of the macro, so we drop into the micro. Today is divided up into 3 pairs. So 3 sets of 2. So it's kind of like 6 on a 6-sided die, right? 1, 2, 3, 3 pairs. Like, or some of you guys are old enough to have played with dominoes, right? I've played with dominoes in my past, and so if you think of the 6 on a domino, 1, 2, 3. So that's what today is organized. If you look at your bulletin, you'll be able to see in the notes section that you'll have 3 sets of 2. 2 and 2 and 2. 3 2s. 2 treasures, 2 eyes, 2 masters. 2 treasures, 2 eyes, 2 masters. And each of these 2s, they are describing the need for a single focus in our life. And there's where the title for today's sermon comes from, is healthy focus. Healthy focus. So 2 treasures, as we continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues in verse 19 of chapter 6. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That final little verse is a verse that a lot of us are very familiar with. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the treasures on earth are contrasted with the treasures in heaven. So we have our 2 treasures. The earthly treasures are physical things, material things, things that can be eaten by moths. Or in this version, vermin. How many of you guys, did that sound weird to you? Yes, what are you guys used to hearing there? Where moths can eat and where what? Rust. Yes, which I so the new NIV is the only like popular translation that translates this as vermin. All of the other ones. So the New American Standard Bible, in fact, the 2020 New American Standard, they have a new, so they have 1995, 2020, they both do rust. The Old King James, the New King James both translates rust. The New International Standard, or not, the old NIV translated as rust, but the new one doesn't for some reason, and we'll kind of touch on that. But who else? New Revised Standard, New Living Bible. You know, so just a huge selection of them. So some of you might be thinking, that's a pretty big jump between vermin and rust. How can one word be translated as one or the other there? Well, the word that's used there is a word that talks about getting eaten up. So then when you look at it that way, then you're like, okay, vermin can eat things up. Rust can eat things up. So that makes a little more sense why they would translate it that way. But the idea is that it's something that's being eaten up. I like the choice of of all of the other versions out there to translate that as rust. It just gives us three distinct categories to look at. I mean, if you think about that, where moth destroys, so you have unexpected destroyers, okay, that can happen to our material possessions, things the little surprises that we can't plan for, right? We've all had those. The strong wind breaks a branch, a large branch, free from a tree and just hurls it perfectly at your car or along the side of your car, maybe if you got a little lucky. And you can't plan for those things. So moths could represent unexpected destroyers. Rust then would be a natural destroyer because things just, they wear out. Things erode. They deteriorate over time. That's a reality. Before we went to, so that when all the kids went to CIY, my wife and I took that opportunity to go off and what was that, the first time in 15 years since our 10-year anniversary. First time in 15 years that we got away, just the two of us, for a week. We've done little weekends. But we took a whole week, and wouldn't you know it, right that week of, there's water leaking out of our hot water heater. And I was like, I don't want to leave that, over the whole vacation and be worrying, is it finally going to give way, and then we're going to be flooded, and then the person who's supposed to be looking after the cats, then they would have all the other things to worry about there, and Jim would have been getting a phone call. He's our, where'd Jim get to? So, oh, there he is, he's hiding. So then, of course, I had to replace the hot water heater because things rust. But then when I got the new hot water heater, that was a lot of fun because I got it all hooked up and all done, and then it was leaking. So we got a defective water heater. So we're like 2 days away from leaving for vacation. I'm trying to get everything done, and the boys are leaving for CIY, and Jess is trying to make sure everybody's all caught up in laundry, and we don't have a hot water heater. So I had to take that one out, take it back, get another one, get it in. That one. I'm not suspicious, but that one's still doing all right. But we all deal with that. We all understand that things deteriorate. That's a reality. Our material possessions, they are at risk of erosion as a destroyer. And then thief. Jesus mentions a thief. And unfortunately, there are malicious destroyers out there. There are wicked destroyers. People who are thieves, and they come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? You have the kind that break into your cars or break into your homes, but then you have the other ones that try and sell you a timeshare. Or they succeed, in our case. That was on my list of bad decisions. So the goal is just to get this list bigger than that list, right? Is that okay? So we have all of these things are, and when we have our material possessions, when we find all of our hope or all of our security, all our dependence, or even our identity is based on our material possessions, then that can make for a very stressful life because our material possessions are in a constant threat of destruction from one of these three or all three of these destroyers. The unexpected, the erosion or deterioration, and the malicious destroyers. And that's an equation for stress. When we place all of our trust or all of our security into something that's constantly being threatened, then that's an equation for stress. We'll be talking about that a little more next week as these two subjects connect directly together. But that helps us to be able to see because it's just a reality. Unfortunately, sometimes the things that we possess end up possessing us, don't they? The possessions can be the possessor. The things we own can turn around and own us when things are out of balance and how the value that we put on them, the worth that we put on them, when our treasure is focused on the wrong treasure of these two treasures. our material possessions, when they're in a healthy existence in our life, they're the vehicle. They're not the destination. Does that make sense? Okay, material possessions are the vehicle, not the destination. When they're the vehicle, they provide a means for clothing or transportation or shelter. But when they're the destination, then we base our self-worth on what kind of clothes we have, or how shiny or impressive our car is, or how fancy our house is. When they are a vehicle, they allow us to provide for our basic needs. When they're the destination, they are our source of security in our lives. When they're the vehicle, they don't just allow for our basic needs. They don't allow, but we can go beyond that. They can actually allow us to enjoy things like going off for a week with your spouse. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when they are the destination, then they themselves are the source of pleasure, not the things that you can use them for with other people. When our material possessions are the vehicle, they give us freedom to live in the margins, serving and loving liberally, focused on relationships with other people. But when they are the destination, then we're looking for power over others and independence from others, which obstructs our relationships with other people. When they are the vehicle, they help us to accomplish our important interpersonal goals and healthy ambitions. But when they are the destination, then gathering wealth and collecting things, that is the ambition. And that's where it gets unhealthy. Psalm 49, verse 16 says, "Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increase, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them." I can tell you, and sometime earlier this year, I calculated up. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I've done a number of funerals here in my time here. And I can tell you, not once was there a U-Haul hitched to the hearse. You don't take it with you. That's what that verse says. You don't take it with you. The NIV application commentary, one of the sources I use, they had a very good list of three of the primary purposes of material possessions in the Bible. One is to care for our own family, and purposefully so that we're not a burden to others. We use our material possessions to care for our own family. To help those who are in need. We talked about this a few weeks ago about generosity and the almsgiving. And there's an emphasis in the New Testament on those inside the church. So especially those inside the kingdom, to make sure that we're supporting and taking care of each other. The third use is to support the spreading of the gospel through supporting people and entities that are active in that endeavor. And I thought that was a good list. Of course, they have scriptures with each of those attached. So having material possessions is not the problem. They can be a vehicle for all sorts of good things, all sorts of healthy things. They can serve healthy things within the kingdom. But the problem is when the things we own us. That's when it becomes a problem. When your treasure owns you, when your treasure is the destination, that's when it becomes a problem. Jesus says that we should store up our treasures in heaven as opposed to storing up our treasures here on earth. Jesus just spent some time, just in the last three Sundays that we were together, we looked at three reflections of a relationship with God, of the righteous activities that come from a relationship with God: generosity, prayer, and fasting. And those three examples give us a framework of how to view other acts that are part of storing up treasures in heaven. Anything that invests into the kingdom is a way of storing up treasures in heaven. Involvement in ministries in the church, serving others, discipling someone by making a personal connection with them and then investing into them. active efforts to spread the gospel and supporting ministries that do that. We're not just limited to the three that Jesus just talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. There are numerous ways that we can store up treasures in heaven. This passage encourages us to recognize the eternal value of such actions and to think about that. What's the eternal value of the things that I'm doing, of what I'm involved in, as opposed to the temporal value of the things stored up here on earth that are in constant threat of being destroyed, where the things that have eternal value, they're never going to be destroyed. The way that you invest in someone else is as a disciple, is discipling them, bringing them closer to Jesus, mentoring them on a spiritual level, that has eternal consequences. And the unexpected destroyers can't touch it. The erosion destroyers can't touch it. The malicious destroyers can't touch that. Anything that we do when we're storing up treasures in heaven, they can't be touched by the moth or rust or thieves. Let's write this down. The use of our resources reveals what's most important to us. The use of our resources reveals what's most important to us. We think about our resources. Time. Time is a resource. Time is a finite resource. You only have so much in a day. We all have 24 hours. That's even across the board. And how you manage that resource reveals what's most important to you. You will make time for things that are most important to you. To say that you don't have time for this or that you don't have time for that, what you're saying is that you have prioritized other things over that. So whatever it was just didn't make the cut. And that's reality of time management. We will give our time to what's most important to us. We'll give our talents to the things that are most important to us. You know, I've known people through the years that have been highly involved in volunteering in all sorts of areas outside of the church. When this church could really use their talents to grow and be healthy. What they're doing outside is not bad, but we could use it here. You know what's important to you? It reveals itself through where you spend your resources. You'll give financially to the things that are important to you. You'll make financial sacrifices to afford things that are important. If it's a more dependable car, or a vacation with your family or your spouse, or a home renovation, we will adjust and we will sacrifice some things to save for those things because those things are important to us. There's nothing wrong with renovating your home or having a car that's dependable or going on a vacation with your family. But that's just an example that we all can see very clearly that we will prioritize. We will adjust our life. We will sacrifice based on what is most important to us. And you can see where your treasure is, or you can see where your heart is, rather, by where your treasure is going. So the same thing is true with things of the kingdom. If the kingdom is important, then we will make sacrifices in other areas to make sure that we are giving our resources to the kingdom. We'll sacrifice time somewhere else because kingdom involvement is more important. We'll sacrifice financially because supporting kingdom ministries is important. We'll give our talents to the kingdom, and we'll sacrifice using them in other areas so that the kingdom gets our talents. And we will only do that when the kingdom is most important. And that's a choice between one treasure or the other. We talked about motive for the past three Sundays. This Sunday, we're talking about priorities, prioritization. Let's write this down. Our priorities define what we will sacrifice for and what we will not sacrifice for. If you ever want a clear view of your priorities, look at what you'll sacrifice for. If you want to see if something's low on the list, look at what you'll not sacrifice for. That reveals your priorities. That is 100% true, 100% of the time, 100% of the scenarios, situations, you will sacrifice based on what your priorities are. Our priorities define what we will sacrifice for and what we will not sacrifice for. Where your heart is, there's where you will find your treasure. That's where your treasure will be also. The heart represents our core, the innermost part of our being. And what's most important to us in our core is what we have assigned value and worth to on the most basic level, on our most foundational level of our person. So our treasure defines our priorities. What we have defined as valuable, what we have defined as a treasure in our heart, that then sets our priorities. What's most important? What I'm willing to sacrifice for, what I'm not willing to sacrifice for. The use of our resources reveals what those priorities look like. When we look at what we're willing to give our time, our talent, our finances toward, or any other number of resources you could list, that's just three. When you see that, then you see very clearly, here's what my priority order is. And if that doesn't match what you want in your heart, then it's time for a come to Jesus moment. And you need to sort out which set of treasures you're longing for, you're looking for. Your most valued, treasured things hold the most value in your heart. We will prioritize according to what our heart deems as valuable. We will make sacrifices to maintain the priority level of whatever our heart deems as a treasure. And that treasure will either be an earthly treasure or a heavenly one. And it really is that black and white. There are two treasures. There are also two eyes, as Jesus continues in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So Jesus transitions from talking about the heart, which is at the core of our being, to our eyes, which is one of the more externally focused parts of our body. And though our eyes and our heart, they are very different in these ways, they have a very, very, very close relationship with each other. Because what our eyes desire feeds the heart. And what our heart desires will be sought out with our eyes. Greed, jealousy, affluenza, which is the unobtainable attempt to keep up with the Joneses. These typically start with the eyes because we're perceiving these things as valuable. But we feed our heart with what we perceive as valuable. On the other hand, we have generosity, service, contentment. These also start with the eyes, and it feeds the heart. We perceive that someone else is in need, and we have compassion for them, and it moves our heart to do something. We see those things. We perceive, we see that what we have is sufficient for what we need. That's contentment. We perceive that, and we feed our heart with those perceptions. So what your eyes are taking in is constantly feeding the heart. So we have to be careful what we're feeding in our eyes, because that's what feeds our hearts. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And the inverse is also true. Let's write this down. What we view as treasure with our eyes will be treasure in our hearts. What we view as treasure with our eyes will be treasure in our hearts. If the eye is good, then the heart will be good. What we focus our eyes on feeds the heart. I want to get personal with you. I want to step into your personal life behind the closed doors in that area of your life that no one else sees. And I want to ask you, what are you focusing your eyes on? And let me ask you, is that heart healthy? Is it heart healthy for your spiritual heart, for the core of who you are? Are you setting your sights on things that are healthy for the core of you? Or are you setting your sights on things that are unhealthy for your innermost being? If the eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are focused on unhealthy things, then you're letting darkness into your heart. And Jesus says, if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness, because that's what you're feeding it. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's write this down. Our perception measures, or determines rather, how we measure value. Our perception determines how we measure value. When our eyes are focused on treasures of this world, then we will find our own value in those treasures. We will find our security in those treasures. We will find our view of success in those treasures. We'll find our significance in those treasures. When our eyes are focused on storing up treasures in heaven, then we will find things like generosity and prayer and fasting, serving others, being involved in church ministries and investing into others in a discipleship process. Our perception determines how we measure value. What we allow through our eyes either pollinates or poisons the heart. Living things are always growing or dying. I just started into gardening this year, like landscaping type gardening. The Wests and Jim have seen the house. I think they had differing opinions. I think the Wests see what it's going to be. You see the vision. I think Jim just saw it and he was like, holy cow. Did someone set a nuke off up here? It's a mess right now. It really is. But growing things, are living things, they're either growing or they're dying. And really that's the trick of any gardening ventures. You want to keep it on this side and not this side. And the same is true for us. Our heart, our innermost being, what we allow through our eyes, it either pollinates it, it helps it to grow, it encourages it to expand, or it poisons it. What are we letting in through our eyes? Two eyes, two treasures, actually. Two treasures, two eyes, two masters. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We've talked about this passage a couple of different times, a number of different times, if I remember right. You know, in the Bible defines a master as a few different things. A landowner is a master. Those of us who have rented, we've had a landlord, and so they've been the master of the land. You answer to them. A teacher or a disciple, or a teacher-disciple relationship, rather, is a master, a teacher, to our Taekwondo students, I'm Master Delafield. So I'm a master and pastor. So I'm a master pastor. Because I'm their teacher, and they're my students. Another definition for a master is a lord or a ruler. So who's your master? Who's in charge of you? Who owns the property that is you? Who is the teacher that your ears are listening to? Who is the Lord who rules over your life? Jesus sets it out very plainly. It's either going to be God or money. And it's really as simple as a choice. You guys have lived long enough. You don't need me to tell you. Life's all about choices. All about choices. Two treasures, two eyes, two masters. And the same is true with all the pairs. You can't have both. You're either going to choose to focus on heavenly treasures or earthly treasures. That's a choice. You're either going to choose to focus your eyes on things that are healthy or unhealthy. That's a choice. Or you're going to focus on Jesus as your master, God as your master, or money. Let's write this down. Your choice of which treasure and which eye reveals which master you have chosen. So when you choose heavenly or earthly treasure, that reveals who your master is. When you choose healthy or unhealthy eyes, that reveals who your master is. Church, we need a healthy focus if we're going to be healthy people, if we're going to be healthy in the kingdom. If we're going to be healthy as a church, we have to be healthy as individuals. And what's required for that, according to Jesus' words right here in Scripture, is a healthy focus. Choose your treasure, choose your eyes, choose your master. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for the Sermon on the Mount and all of the great things that we learn here. Everything is so very applicable. Father, it doesn't matter what is going on in our lives or our society or any other place, whatever's going on in our life, this message right here is applicable no matter what. Father, I ask that you help us to be wise in choosing. And choosing our treasure. And choosing what we use our eyes for. And who our master is. Father, we take this time to repent. None of us are perfect. Each and every one of us have chosen the wrong treasure or the wrong eyes or the wrong master. And so we take this opportunity this morning to seek your forgiveness, to seek your restoration for us in those areas. Father, we pray for health. That you would help us to be healthy at the core of who we are, that we'd have a healthy heart by listening to your word, by not just listening, but by obeying. Give us the courage needed to take stands in these areas and to do what's most healthy for our relationship with you, for our involvement in your kingdom, And both of those things are ultimately what's most healthy for us. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for calling us out on subjects like these. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.